right, shall we get started?
Yes.
Sherry, good to see you.
Good to see you, Ron. You look a little better than you did last week.
Thank you. I was death warmed up last week.
Yeah. You look like you're starting to, some of the Iron Man veins have disappeared a little bit. And, you know, we get that look when we're right around the Iron Man because we're maxed out.
We're ripped.
Yeah, you look much better.
Thank you. I'm plumping up nicely.
Yes, you're plumping up nicely. Put a fork in it. So anyway, yeah, we are going to continue, and we can start with the Kona thing, but we're going to talk a little bit about volunteers today on Dry Chatter. What do you want to say about the volunteers? What do you want to say specifically about the volunteers at Kona?
Well, you know, I can't think of a race where the volunteers are more important than that particular race. They estimated, and I heard a couple of different numbers, but they estimated that the number of volunteers at that race just, you know, for that weekend, mm-hmm. it's not just that day, you know, they volunteer days in advance, right. And they volunteer after as well. 5,000 to 6,000 people.
That's amazing.
That's more than three per athlete.
Wow. That is amazing.
So when they say, you know, we really can't do these races without the help of the volunteers, they're absolutely right. I mean, they make everything go.
And some of those volunteers probably volunteer for several different jobs. You know, I mean, they may be volunteering every day of the event. And I've heard that, don't they, I mean, is there a sort of hierarchy among the volunteers? I mean, obviously, your first year volunteering, you're not going to get to be a catcher at the finish line, right?
No, you can, you know what it is they do keep track of how many years you've been there. My good friend Mark Arenal, hi Mark.
Who caught you?
Came with us, and he volunteered all day Friday. I think he had three volunteer mm-hmm. jobs on Friday, and then three or four on Saturday, race mm-hmm. day. And there's not necessarily a hierarchy but that I'm aware of, but you know, they do give the preferred jobs to the people that come back. Like finish line catcher is kind of a high demand job. So if you've come back and you're volunteering, and Mark, I think, had volunteered either 3 or 4 years prior, you know, they pretty much let you pick your assignments.
Well, they don't have this in Kona, but I think one job I wouldn't like would be the wetsuit stripper. I think that might
really
be just, yeah, there's something kind of weird about that to me. I mean, I loved having them do it for me, but you know, and most Ironman triathletes have good bodies, so I guess it would be an opportunity if you wanted to get up close and personal and touch some Ironman bodies, you could do that. But you know, what if you get somebody that's kind of hard to get out of their wetsuit? It could be kind of strange.
And it strips their bathing suit right
off. Yeah, they whack you with the zipper. I don't know. And then you'd be getting all wet. And so that could be kind of crazy. But, you know, I think volunteering is a great opportunity for people to experience the excitement of the sport, first of all.
Well, you know, a good friend of ours, Larry Davidson, he and his wife, Kim, volunteered. I don't remember what year it was, but he told me that, you know, he volunteered before he ever did a triathlon.
Really?
He didn't even own, I don't think he didn't really know how to swim, and he didn't have a bike.
That's how he got exposed to the sport?
He got exposed to it by going to Kona, volunteering. Him and Kim volunteered, fell in love with the sport, and that's really how he kind of got started in it.
And he's a fast guy, isn't he?
He's amazing. Yeah, I mean, he qualified at Wisconsin a couple of years ago, and I guarantee you he'll be back, he'll qualify next year.
Really?
And probably be there in Kona next year.
Yeah, so. Well, I think that when people get out there and they experience, you know, and not just in an Ironman, even in sprints or local races or anything, you get to see these people with their game on, and it's just exhilarating, and it's, you know, you're going, okay, come on, hurry up. And, you know, it's just really, really fun to watch.
It is. And it's fun to watch, and it's even more fun to be a part of it. You know,
right.
To say, hey, I'm part of this. Even if it's a small part, you know, and to be honest with you, there are so many jobs at these races that mm-hmm. I would have no desire to do whatsoever.
Right.
You know,
right. Like handing out the water, because people, they don't mean to, but you know, you get your water, you're running by, and then, you know, you might take a swig of this, and then you go to throw, and there's some of it that might still be in there, and those people, I don't know, I think some of them kind of like it, though. You know? Especially if it's a hot day, you know, what the heck.
And, splash me out.
Yeah, yeah, and then there's the volunteers at the Wildflower Triathlon. Now, we want to give a shout-out to those kids.
Yeah. Those Did you want to explain yourself?
Well, I wasn't a part of that. I was not part of the beer bong volunteers, the college, the girls, the topless volunteers, shall we say.
And bottomless. They were topless and bottomless.
Yeah. I think it's great that they do it. And triathlon is such a popular college sport now. I mean, it's really, really growing.
It's huge on a lot of campuses.
And getting bigger. And, you know, out here in California, we've got the Wildflower Triathlon, which is like Woodstock, a big, you know, three-day camping event. And a lot of college students come to that, and a lot of them volunteer, and it's really great. I don't know if they have anything like that on the East Coast.
Not that I'm aware of. No, I don't know. I would be curious to know
how many people who are triathletes got involved in the sport as a result of being a volunteer at one of these events.
Maybe
we could have people email us.
I'll bet it's a lot. Yeah, email us anyway.
Yeah, email me anyway. If you've ever been a volunteer and got turned on to the sport of triathlon, I want to hear about it. So email me at coachsbr@gmail.com or go to my website. You can contact me there, coachsbr.com. And how can they email you, Ron?
Yeah. Go to triathica.com and email me at ron@triathica.com. Love to hear your comments. But,
yeah. The one thing that, you know, I had my daughter volunteer at Malibu one year, and she's about 16 at the time. And she was thrilled to volunteer. You know, she got the t-shirt and everything the day before. She was not thrilled to get up at 5 in the morning. That's one of the things that
If she was 16, she should have just stayed up all night.
She should have stayed up all night.
Yeah.
And, you know, like you said, there's always opportunities after the race, too. You know.
Those are some of the thankless jobs, though. You know, breaking the tables
down.
To clean up the wrappers and pick up the bottle. You know, that's the stuff that's... I don't know how they get people to volunteer to do that.
Well,
but it's so
one thing that I volunteer up in the transition area at a local triathlon, the LA Tri Series, that's run by I can't think of what they are, but it's the Benelli.
Yeah.
The Benelli Triathlons, and I've been volunteering in the transition area. They're trying to kind of secure things up a little bit more and adopt some ways by which they can, you know, keep the area secure. They've got local Boy Scouts that volunteer, mm-hmm. and like these Ranger, I don't know what they are, junior firefighting kids. But one person mentioned to me that in schools now, in high schools, kids are required to do community service.
Yeah.
They're required to do a certain number of community service hours.
My son does that. Yeah.
To graduate. And so... I think triathlon would be considered community service,
absolutely,
wouldn't it?
Absolutely, sure.
They're helping the community.
Yeah.
So anybody who's listening, if you've got a kid that's a teenager and they need something to do and you want them to get up at 5 o'clock in the morning on any given weekend.
5 o'clock might actually be late.
Right, then contact us and we'll give you a list of triathlons in your area and they can find a way to give back.
Yeah.
So what's your, are there any volunteers that you specifically recall in your mind from your latest race in Kona?
Well, of course, the one that I know and appreciate the most is my friend Mark Arenal.
Mm-hmm.
He was there at the beginning of the race in the transition area. He was mm-hmm. part of the transition area. And
what was he doing in the transition area?
Whatever anybody needed. I need air in my tires, my tube popped.
There's just so many things.
And one of the things that he did was they said, okay, your job, can you imagine this job? Your job is to check the tire pressure in the front and rear tires of all 1,850 bikes.
Oh, no.
So he had to literally go and...
Because you took the bike the day before, right?
But he did this race morning.
Oh, my land.
So he had to, you know, check the pressure in all the bikes. And he did find one that had a flat tire. So
right.
Even without the athlete there, they fixed the flat. The guy never even knew, or woman didn't even know that, you know, they had a flat.
Wow.
Yeah, so that was pretty cool. So he was working at the beginning of the race. And
that's what I call service.
Yeah, and then he caught me at the end of the race, too. So mm-hmm. That's obviously the most memorable.
Yeah, so he worked all day. Was he there? I mean, was he on duty?
He was on duty. He was there with me at 4:30 in the morning, and we left. Because he left with us about mm-hmm. 9 o'clock that night, and worked all day and night.
Wow! So he was exhausted. And I'll bet he ate after the race, not like you.
I don't know what he did. I'm sure he did.
Yeah. You know, you kind of figure if you're going to be there, you might as well be helping out.
Well, it's, you know...
And you can ring cowbells often. You know, if you're working at a hydration stand or something like that, you can still ring your cowbell.
You're whooping it up
out
there.
You're still cheering for everybody.
Yeah, it's... and I know for me, I volunteer... I guess the first year that I volunteered at Kona was 06. And we were bike catchers. So when they came in off the bike, we caught the bikes and we racked them, and we kind of worked our way up to the very beginning of the line. So we were catching the leaders' bikes. So we were catching Norman Stadler's bike and Chris McCormick's bike.
Nice bike.
You know, so that was a blast. My friend Vince, who's 6'7", gigantic guy, they kind of rotate you. So he was the one to catch the next bike, right. And it was Chris McCormick that was coming in. And I don't know if you've ever seen Chris McCormick in the transition. But he gets off the bike and throws it. I mean, yes.
Why does he do that?
I don't know what. It's not saving any time. But you know, here's my friend Vince, who you know he's lucky that Vince didn't take the bike and just wrap it around his neck because
right, he threw it right at him.
Just got off it and just.
Anybody knows Chris McCormick? Maybe you could ask him at the next time you see him.
Yeah, dude, what's up, man? Why are you doing that?
You're
not
your
saving
bike.
Any time by doing that,
right?
You know. Goofball.
Yeah, in fact, he's
burning. I don't know if he did it this year, but
he's burning calories that he shouldn't be burning.
Yeah,
it takes a lot more energy to throw a bike than it does to gently hand it off. Yeah,
but we did that, and one of the great things about you know that particular assignment, the reason why we picked that, we did some other stuff, we helped out around as well, but the main reason why we picked that was because it allowed us to watch the entire swim. We
mm-hmm.
watched them do
You're
the
right
swim and get out. We watched him transition, and then we got to, you know, we went for lunch and drank a bunch of beer, and then we went back, you know, and then we worked our shift for whatever it was, 3.5 hours,
yeah.
I think it was,
yeah.
And we had the rest of the day free,
yeah.
You know, so you don't have to volunteer for the entire race.
Right, you can volunteer for one little job.
Yeah, exactly. And
you know?
It's so
body marking, too. Oh, now let me tell you, ladies, if you want to see some guys and you want to meet some men, volunteer at a triathlon.
Yeah,
and
why
you get
is
to
it,
see
it's always
them.
Women
let me
doing
tell you,
the body
they
marking.
Get to do it. You get to see them up close and personal. I myself like to body mark the guys who do shave their legs. I don't like putting the numbers on hairy legs. It's so funny because after you've been, you know, I've been around all these triathletes and these cyclists for so long, and I'm just used to guys with shaved legs. And so when I see a guy with hairy legs, then I go, oh, dude, go get body marked by somebody else.
Can either catch a shave or get in another line.
Right, but I'll tell you, like I said, up close and personal, I mean, you get to, I always tell, and you know this, I always tell my single friends, you know, get into cycling, get into triathlons. There's a lot of guys. Now, ladies, even if you don't want to get into the sport, you just want to check it out, go and volunteer at a local triathlon. First of all, you get to see all these great bodies, and it's very exciting to watch. And, you know, you might get so turned on to the sport that you decide to try it, but I'm telling you, come on, when else do you get to grab these nice, solid calf muscles and put a number on there, you know, and it's fun. And their arms, oh my gosh, yeah, because they've got to, you know, you got to mark their arms too. So you get these great shoulders and the biceps.
Those
and
are ripped.
Your ripped. So ladies, I'm telling you, and you can write in and thank me, of course. Speaking of body marking, our friend Art, who did Kona with you, He had a full-on tan line mm-hmm. from his Kona number. I didn't realize that they stamp
they
the numbers
stamp
on
them. Yeah, that's the only race that I'm aware of that where they stamp the numbers.
So they've got like a rubber stamp?
Yeah,
and
they've got 10 numbers, 0 through 9, and you have a stamp pad and they stamp them on you. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't see a tan line on
yeah,
you.
Yeah, it was there,
number.
But I'm sure it's gone now.
Well, you're more fair-skinned like me, you know.
Yeah, well, I burn. I don't really tan.
Yeah, yeah. So I'll tell you, that's the number one job, I think, is the body marking. Let me see. For second pick, okay, if I had a choice, I would do the body marking. That would be my first choice. And, of course, you know I do the transition area thing, and that's kind of fun because if you like to boss people around, you want to be in the transition area because you say, nobody's allowed in, you know, only the athletes are allowed in. And it's kind of fun because you get a lot of people, especially beginners and these shorter distance triathlons who are, they're worried and scared and they don't know which way the bike is, you know, bike out, run in. And so it's an opportunity to actually help somebody.
You're helpful. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, you're helpful.
That's really fun too. And let me see, what other good volunteer jobs are there? Oh, I'll tell you, my favorite ones when I've done the Ironman are the people that put the sunscreen on you.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, you know, they got the sunscreen in the big vats
yeah,
there.
Yeah,
yeah.
I've never done that one.
Yeah.
That's got to be fun.
I got to tell you.
You like handling people.
I like handling people, apparently so. I really hadn't ever thought about it, or at least confessed it on the internet. But yeah, I guess I do. Well, if you're going to handle people, I could never be a massage therapist because, you know, you might have to give somebody a massage that's big.
Yeah.
I don't know. That's just.
And hairy.
Big and hairy. Forget it. I'd be like, no, I'd rather be poor. I'd rather starve. But, you know, when you're working with triathletes, I would say 90. What's the percentage of people that do triathlons that are actually look pretty darn fit? I'd say it's got to be 90%.
Yeah.
You know, that's a pretty good odds. You're going to get to see some great bodies and be inspired. Because you'll say, geez, I want to look like that.
Well, that's the main thing that I get out of it is it really is inspiring. You know, back in 2006, the first time I volunteered at Kona, it was just the atmosphere was just amazing. It was like, you know, what do I have to do to get here? You know, because I want to be part of this so bad.
Yeah.
You know, it's just totally inspiring.
Oh yeah, after you volunteered, I'm sure you said, I want to cross that finish line.
Yeah, yeah. So I mean, in that,
and it's so emotional.
That's about the time that I started to kick my training into high gear.
Yeah.
You know, it was like, I want to get here, and that, you know, that was probably the pivot point right there.
Yeah, even with the heat and the wind and everything.
Yeah.
I remember when I did Ironman Canada last year, I did it in honor of my niece, Katie Wilson, who was killed in a car accident. Yeah. It'll be 2 years ago in a couple of weeks, but I had, I made a little sign that said, you know, in honor of Katie, taken from us too soon. And I had, in the transition tent, I asked the girl when I came out of the swim to pin the sign to my back. And so she's pinning the sign on my back. And, you know, of course, you're so emotional and everything. And, you know, it's such a big day. And she said, well, who's Katie? And so she's asking me about Katie. So, of course, I start telling her about Katie and I start crying. This girl starts crying. And she's like, oh, I'm sure she would be so proud of you doing Ironman. And I'm hugging her and we're crying. And then she's putting the suntan. I mean, it was like this major emotional experience for me. And of course, like I said, it's because your emotions are so high anyway. But here was this darling girl who, you know, I mean, she genuinely, you know, who is this girl that you're doing this in honor of?
Yeah.
And so for her, what a cool experience to get up close with these people and really, you know, maybe get a glimpse of why they do things and why they're honoring people. And she was obviously very touched by it. Either that or she was really hormonal.
Well, you know, to even volunteer, those people are generally givers anyway.
Yeah.
You know, they're not takers. They want to give. They want to help people. They want to do that. So, you know, I think everybody that does anything for me out there, you know, you put suntan lotion on me, thank you. You hand me a cup of water, thank you. You know, whatever you do for me, I'm thanking people all day long. And I think the majority of the athletes are thanking him as well.
Right.
And some of the pros are too. I mean, they're so focused and everything, but you know, they're just from that bike catching thing. We're catching the top guys, and the majority of the top men and women, you know, they were thankful. They're generally, you know, genuinely appreciative. Yeah.
Well, because you couldn't do it. You really can't do it without the volunteers.
Yeah.
I mean, it would be. And what about those guys out there on the paddle boards, on the swim?
Yeah.
You know, especially these guys that volunteer. Well, I guess they're paid, the lifeguards up at the ocean, like in Malibu.
Yeah.
You know, they've got those huge waves going on. Those guys, obviously, they're not volunteering. Hopefully they're not. Hopefully that's their real job.
No, I hope so, too.
Yeah, I hope so, too. But, you know, a lot of times they've got to get out there and be in bad weather, be in the scorching hot sun. You know, they're givers.
That's true.
And we thank them. We love the volunteers.
A lot. Yeah.
Yeah.
Keep it going. Yeah. The only problem that I have with volunteering is I want to be out there. You know, it's hard for me to be a spectator at any sport. It's just, and I haven't, how many times have I volunteered? Half a dozen times or something like that, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I've probably spectated another half a dozen races that I haven't actually been in.
Yeah.
It drives me nuts.
Yeah, you know, I would be the same way if it weren't, like, when I volunteered LA Tri-Series this year. The way my race schedule worked, it wouldn't have worked for me logistically to do those races anyway.
Yeah.
So I didn't really feel like, oh, I really want to be out there. Although it's a great course. Anybody in Southern California who hasn't done a race up at Benilla, you really should check it out. It's very grassroots.
Yeah, I love it there.
It's really, really, really cool. But yeah, I guess there have been times when I volunteered when I've kind of wanted to be out there. But on other days, I'm like, oh, I'm so glad that's not me. I am so glad. Like this year at the Pacific Coast Triathlon, I just did a relay. And I was so glad because the ocean was freezing cold and the waves were really bad. And I just kept saying, oh, I'm so glad I'm not out there doing it.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, but we get some great volunteers down at Pacific Coast Triathlon. And, you know, Martha and her group, Tri La Vie, they volunteer. I guess they were out in force at the Orange County. And, you know, that's a great way for clubs, triathlon clubs also,
to
give back. Because, you know, the sport has done a lot for all of us. I mean, speaking for myself, and I know for you.
Yeah, for me, absolutely.
It has really, it's done so much for my life and really enhanced it. And I feel like I do want to give back. I do want to help promote the sport and help people who are out there working their butts off.
Yeah.
And ringing the cowbell.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the most fun.
It is the most fun. It really is. I need to replenish my cowbell. You know where I got my cowbell? I got it as a Christmas gift from Ellen Lofton. I don't know if you know Ellen.
No.
Darling girl. She gave everybody just a nice... She got these cowbells and put a little Christmas ribbon on and gave them to all of her triathlete friends one year. And I still have mine.
What a great
gift. You know? See? Look at that. All you people who are triathletes or no triathletes, here's your Christmas gift idea.
Yeah.
Your holiday gift.
I love
gift.
It. Yeah, yeah. That's great.
Give everybody a cowbell. And then that way they can ring it if they're volunteering. They can, you know, just always have a cowbell. Everybody should have one.
Everybody should.
Yes.
And all cows should too.
All cows should have cowbells. Absolutely. So anything else we have to say to the volunteers other than thank you?
Big thank you. Thank you. No, just...
Volunteers
keep doing it. Yeah, I mean,
yes.
Just exactly as Sherry said, you know, it's a great way to get acquainted with the sport. If you've got any interest in it whatsoever and you're
right.
a little hesitant to, you know, jump in and start training or start racing, it's a great way to
and
check
you'll
it out.
See that there are plenty of regular people out there doing it too, especially if you go to a local race that's, you know, a sprint or an Olympic distance. You're going to see there's plenty of people who, you know, aren't in tip-top shape. They're just challenging themselves to try something and do it, and you'll see, geez, there's people out there that look kind of like me or
like
whatever,
me.
And
right.
maybe I could do it. And I just want to mention one last thing. I don't mean that about the whole body saying get to see great bodies. I don't mean that just for the ladies. I mean it for the men, too, because there are lots of women with great bodies in triathlon. And, you know, Ron, you did say one time that there weren't that many good-looking women in triathlon.
Lots of nice bodies.
There's a lot of nice bodies, and I beg to differ because I think there are a lot of very cute women in triathlon. So if any of you men want to make a decision on that for yourself, get out there and volunteer. Check those girls out. And I got to tell you, they don't look their best coming out of the swamp. They don't. Okay, so give them a break. But when they come in off the run and their face is all flushed and they're all sweaty and their pigtails a mess, you tell me how cute those girls are.
Yes.
I want to hear. Yeah, I want to hear.
Let us know.
If there's anybody who meets someone and ends up getting married, we want to know about it. Yeah. We're going to have them on the show.
Definitely.
That's right. So Tri Chatter says thank you very much to everybody who volunteers. And again, if you have a story to tell us, coachsbr.com, triathica.com. We want to hear about it.
Yeah. Let us know.
Yes.
Thanks for tuning in.
Yes. Over and out. Yeehaw.